everybody. This is Jimmy. Welcome to another episode of the Biblical Business Leaders Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I'm extremely, extremely excited to have you here. It's nice to get back. I had a week off. We had a lot of things going on with our businesses and stuff, and also my birthday, Brittany's birthday is coming up. So a lot of things going on that we took a week off to just kind of handle everything else that we had going on in our lives. But excited to get back with this episode. This one is with somebody that I've kind of known peripherally, I guess is the right word, right? So Dan McCutcheon is somebody that I've been friends with on Facebook. About 8 years or so ago, I went to a conference that he was speaking at in regards to real estate. And so I met him there and have been friends with him on Facebook ever since and kind of followed his journey from, you know, being somebody that wasn't a Christian, wasn't necessarily, you know, a Bible believing person to somebody that's transformed his life in a lot of different ways. Has gotten baptized and has been a huge force actually for speaking to other people about God and has started a brand that revolves around outserving one another. And so that brand is what drew me to ask him to be on the podcast because that's such a powerful message in family, in business, and really anything focusing on outserving somebody else, even if it's not from a Christian standpoint, is still extremely powerful, and it will get you much farther than if you don't, you know, try to outserve, if you try to be more selfish. So I always thought that that message was cool. It's been a blessing for me and Brittany and our lives together, and just trying to outserve her has kind of been a goal of mine, you know, as much as I can make it that anyway. Obviously, I fail regularly at that, but still, that message is extremely powerful. And his brand is called Servant Heart, which is S-R-V-N-T. And then heart is spelled regularly, H-E-A-R-T. So I'll put the links to that in the show notes if you're looking for any apparel. Dan talks a lot about it in the in this episode about how it's a powerful tool for people to, you know, open the door to ask about what the brand's about. And then you can use that to as kind of your testimony in speaking with other people about God because that's what the brand represents. So he's got that. He talks a lot about his journey through real estate and his faith journey, as well as he's launching this really awesome summit. It's a virtual summit called Council of Kings, which council is spelled C-O-U-N-S-E-L. So sometimes I know it can be confusing and be spelled C-O-U-N-C-I-L, but S-E-L is the one that you're going to look up. Councilofkingssummit.com is the webpage that you'd go to find out more about that. It'll be a free summit, and it looks really awesome. So I'm excited to be able to watch that and be a part of that whenever it comes out too. But anyway, all of those links for anything we discussed are in the show notes. As usual, please, please, please leave a review, like the episode, share it, whatever you have to do so we can get more people involved on the podcast so that this can bless more and more people. I'm extremely excited for the direction of where we've been. We recently hit over 500 downloads and we've done 6 episodes, which for me, that is amazing. So very exciting to see where this has gone and where this will continue to go. So I hope that this episode blesses you. I hope that everything that Dan talks about speaks to your heart, and that in some way God can speak through him and me in this episode. And thank you so much for being here, and excited to get going. So let's get into the episode. Hey Dan, thank you so much for being on the Biblical Business Leaders Podcast. Excited to have you on here.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. This is a big honor.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get started on everything, I'll start it off with a prayer like I usually do, and then we can get going.
Awesome.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing Dan and I to get onto this podcast and just fellowship with each other and discuss business and our faith and really how we can combine the two. Please help us to bless everybody listening to the podcast, and thank you so much for the opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. No better way to start.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Dan, I really appreciate you being on here. I actually, we've talked a little bit in the past. My main thing is e-commerce. So we have a lot of e-commerce people that have been listening to the podcast, and you actually you've got an e-commerce business, but your main focus for the longest time has been outside of e-commerce. So I guess give us a little bit of a background on, you know, your business ventures and where you're at now with your business.
Yeah. So, you know, just to step back a little bit, right out of college, I went straight into IT, kind of stumbled into that. I was a business management major.
Okay.
But just kind of, I saw people designing web pages, you know, and this is back when, you know, even before AOL chat, when it was like the hardcore IRC chats.
Yeah.
Some people just kept posting, you know, hey, you know, go take a look at my website. And I asked a friend online at the time, which is just crazy what it is now. Mm-hmm. Like, how'd you make that? And they said, well, here, I'll send you this manual. And so they sent me an HTML manual. I printed it out. It was like 400 pages.
Okay.
On how to code HTML. And I was like,
yeah.
But I just started digging into it. And so I started doing that. And my summer intern for a company, one day the vice president was walking by and he saw me designing a web page, because I was just a gopher, like, go get me this, go get me that.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything else to do. And he saw me design a website. He said, you know, what are you working on? I said, oh, I'm just designing a little web page for fun. And he said, you did that? I said, yeah. He said, come with me. And so for the next two summers, he basically, you know, pimped me out on government contracts,
okay, getting paid,
you know, $200-$250 an hour and paying me $8.
Okay.
that's really when I saw the power of IT and technology and what it was going to be.
Yeah.
So when I graduated, I just went straight back to them. Got quickly into Department of Defense contracting, you know, carried a secret security clearance kind of stuff. Yeah. Where people are like, oh, what'd you used to do? Well, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. So I just tell people that I saved the world.
Okay.
So I've always been big on the technology side, you know, yeah. Geek out over the stuff and, you know, so fast forward a number of years, I actually started to get into real estate investing.
Yeah.
It went horrible in the
beginning. Okay.
Lost everything I had and ended up $100,000 in debt. And
wow.
My dad had invested alongside of me and he lost his entire retirement. And, you know, it was a big mess for a number of years. And so it was about 2008 or so. My best friend at the time was like, hey, we're going to buy a house and we're going to flip it. And, you know, obviously I'm bleeding over here money. I wanted no parts of it, but
yeah.
He's the type of dude where, you know, puts his mind to something, failure is not an option. So we did, you know, a lot of mistakes again, but we still made some money.
Okay.
And what I realized, was real estate wasn't the problem. It was who I gotten involved with real estate was the problem at first.
Okay.
But also my part on the business was more the techie marketing side. So that's when I started really getting more into the online marketing side of things. And, you know, and again, this is 2008 and 2009.
Yeah.
You know, so this is before it is what it is today. And, you know, Amazon and all the e-commerce, the way it is, and even Google, the way it is. But we just, you know, we just went head first into it. And then we built a very successful real estate business.
Okay.
So, you know, my primary focus was a lot of offline business for a number of years.
Yeah.
And
did you
then,
have employees in that business?
What's that?
Did you have a bunch of employees at that business?
Or yeah,
did you
so we grew and we scaled up because a couple years into the program, I actually got asked to start coaching for them. And that's actually how you and I first met.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Almost 9 years ago, I coached one of your weekends.
Yeah.
And so I did that. I've done that for the past 9 years until the whole coronavirus thing hit.
Okay.
But we did. We grew and scaled a pretty decent sized business, office, employees, overhead. I mean, we were running anywhere from 20 to 30 rehab projects at a time.
Wow.
when I was offered an opportunity. And again, my passion was never real estate, to be, you know, completely transparent. But yeah. I know that real estate is a, you know, it's a way to build long-term generational wealth.
Absolutely.
Which is what attracted me to it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't passionate about the real estate, but as I started traveling and speaking and coaching, it was, you know, meeting people like yourself and it was the people that I really got passionate about. And about 4 years ago, a company that I was, you know, speaking and coaching for offered me an opportunity to speak on bigger stages, larger audiences, but it required us to move to San Diego. And, you know, my wife and I, we had just been married about a little over 6 months at the time when that opportunity came. And we didn't have kids yet, and so it's kind of like, you know, if there's ever a time where we're going to take a risk and pack up everything. Our family's all East Coast based. Pack up everything and try something across the country, like now would be the time. So I stepped away from the active side of my business. You know, they twisted my arm real hard. They moved to horrible, terrible San Diego.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, so we made a big leap of faith, man, just okay. following what I didn't know at the time was actually my calling.
You know, yeah.
Because I didn't get saved until 2017.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So I went 42 years of no real faith and blaming the universe for a lot of things. my dad got divorced in the 70s. He won custody of 5 kids. He's agnostic. So you can't prove to him there's a God. You can't prove to him that there's not.
Okay.
So that's just where he's always been. And amazing individual, great core values and principles. And love my dad to death. He's actually very intelligent too. He's a member of Mensa.
Oh, wow. So
he's legitimately genius. He scored a 161 and a 164 on his IQ test. So,
really?
Yeah, I used to tease him all the time. I was like, you're freaking genius.
He's
But so he got divorced in the 70s, had custody of 5 kids, and met my mom. Hmm. And when they went to get married, my mom was very, very Catholic. And when they went to get married, the Catholic Church wouldn't marry him.
Oh, wow.
So that really hurt my mom's, because my dad had been divorced. And so that really hurt my mom's feelings. And so she still has a heart for God, mm-hmm. but we didn't go to church.
Okay.
And so I had, you know, just not really knowing, I was raised with a lot of good core values and mm-hmm. biblical principles, but I never associated the two. I was more on my dad's side of things. I was like, man, this is pretty scary world, how big it all is. This couldn't have just been rocks bumping into each other in outer space.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, and it wasn't until we moved to San Diego, we were out here only about 6 months. And, you know, my wife sacrificed all of her friends and family and everything to follow me out here. And she kind of felt like she needed family. And so she's really felt called to like start getting back into church, because she was raised Catholic as well.
Okay.
So a couple of our good friends out here took my wife to church, because, you know, when we met, I traveled on the weekends to do what I did. So fly out on a Friday, teach all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and then fly home on a Sunday night or Monday.
Right.
So with a schedule like that, church wasn't even a huge option for mm-hmm. me either. But so my wife started going, and, you know, she would drop little nuggets here and there. She's like, I think you'd really like it. And I'm like, yeah, cool story. And,
right.
But there was a weekend that I was home, you know, I wasn't on the road. And she said, hey, I'd like you to go to church with me. And I love my wife. So, mm-hmm. you know, I said, yes.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but all I knew is the old traditional religion church mm-hmm. of, you know, here goes 3 hours of my morning, stand up, sit down, sing some hymns that I can't stand or don't even understand and definitely don't know the words.
Right.
You know, so I love you, Buttercup. I'm going to suck one up for you, and sure, I'll go to church with you.
Right.
And, so our church out here in San Diego, Awaken Church, we pull in the parking lot, and there's a bunch of happy people waving at us, guiding us where to park. And then, you know, we're walking up, and everybody's like, hey, how you doing? Hi. I mean, literally, our church has a high team. You know,
okay.
People are there just to greet everybody and welcome everybody.
That's awesome.
Go in the lobby, and it's just, you know, everybody's upbeat and everybody's talking, and, you know, it's just like a huge, amazing gathering. And that's just the lobby.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we go in the sanctuary, and, you know, when worship starts, and I'm like, yo, this is like a Justin Bieber like, what is, where am I?
Right.
I actually like this music. Where, okay, is the cult, what is going on? And then our pastor, Pastor Jurgen, our senior pastor, about the first, I think, 4 or 5 times that I went, he was preaching, which I think that was a plan by God. That was by design.
Yeah.
Because Pastor Jurgen is one of the most powerful pastors that I've ever heard speak.
Okay.
But it was as if his messages were directed to nobody else but me.
Wow, yeah.
And you know, I'm not a crier. I'm not an emotional dude.
Yeah.
But it got really dusty in there a couple times.
Okay, yeah.
I was like, man, did somebody bring some cats in here? What?
Yeah.
And my wife is this one. Whenever, like, I get, if I do get emotional about something, or mm-hmm. she sees I'm feeling something, my wife is this one. She's not staring at me because she loves to see it. But I'm like,
right,
all right, you're making it weird, babe. Like, leave me alone. Yeah. So like, I was just from the first time we went, man, I was just like, wow, this isn't so bad after all. So any weekend that I was home, I'd go to church with my wife and see a bunch of my friends. And, you know, a lot of the people from the company that I moved out here for were going there as well. And so every year our church has a men's conference called Emerge.
Okay.
And it's essentially, it's where we go for about 2.5 days out, you know, camp out. And when I say camp out, I'm talking like dudes are pitching tents. Some dudes bring RVs, but dudes are pitching tents.
Okay.
Eating meat with their hands, no vegetables. And it's men fellowshipping with men, competing with men. So we have teams, and it's a competition for the weekend.
Okay.
And so like last year, for instance, we had 1500 men. So we had over 40 teams with over 40 plus men apiece on each team competing in various things. And it's not all like pound your chest, rah, rah. There's a bunch of other stuff too.
Yeah.
But then there's the pound your chest, rah, rah stuff, axe throwing, you know, bench press contests, all kinds of madness.
Yeah.
But then there's also the words that we get from the pastors. And so, our pastors will typically speak, and then we have pastors flying from all over the world that are, I mean, when you talk about powerful, powerful messages, especially in today's society, in today's day and age where masculinity is considered a bad thing.
Right.
And it's really attacked on so many fronts. Like, being a man is a bad thing if you turn on the news these days.
Right.
When in reality, being a man, healthy, being a healthy man is what's going to save this world. So being in an environment with 1500 men under a tent, hearing messages from pastors that are, you know, they're unleashed, they're preaching the words that they want to give to men, and that men really need. It's one of the most powerful environments that I've it's life-changing. And so after about 6 months of going to Awaken, we had our Emerge conference, and my buddy invited me. And at the time, man, like, I wasn't into the whole competition stuff. And it was intimidating, to be honest. And I was something was telling me to go. Like, I'll go enjoy it. And the first night, we heard some good words from the pastor. So like Thursday, you go get all the campsite set up. You'll hear a word from the pastor, and then you'll just basically go back as a team and have fellowship around a campfire and cook out and you know, cigars and whiskey and all kinds of fun.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting around that campfire that night, and I'm looking around. I'm like, man, this is a pretty good group of dudes. And my wife and I just found out that we were pregnant, and I hadn't even told my parents yet.
Okay.
So this is how new it was. And so I'm processing that I'm about to be a dad.
Yeah.
And I remember looking around that campfire. I was like, you know, man, if anything ever happened to me or us, this would be a good group of dudes. You know, I know my kids would be okay in this community.
Yeah.
So then then it was literally that night, the message that we got that night from Pastor Jurgen, he kicked it off, was called King Speak.
Okay.
And it's, and I'll send you a link to it. I have it on Dropbox. You a link because I really want you to hear it.
Yeah.
It is absolutely one of the most powerful messages for men that I've ever heard, you know, just talking about the power of our words as men, leaders and kings of our household. And that's the message that really kind of stuck in my heart and started the transformation. So then, you know, by the time we were all done on Saturday, when they were getting to the baptisms, you know, my mindset was, well, if there's ever a time I was going to give this faith thing a shot, now might as well be it. And and see where it goes, you know, because I had no idea, you know, I had no idea what it was going to look like. But if there was ever a time that I felt that I was going to be transformed, then that was it. And so they dunked me in the pool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And our church, what I love about our church, it's visionaries, man. It's big picture thinkers. It's entrepreneurs. Like, they do not play small. They do not, you know, track back. Like, we've got, you know, multimillionaires, huge business owners, like people that are just doing life on a big, like the kind of people wow. you look at like, man, that's the life I want.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like strap on, you know, my awakened seatbelt. Like I'm going for a little bit of a ride. Yeah. It was crazy. You know, we just plugged in more and more. And so okay. when the conference came around the next year, I was asked to be a co-captain of a team.
Oh, wow.
So I got saved, you know, in 2017, I co-captained a team of 40 men, the next year.
Okay.
And then last year was asked to actually lead a team. So, you wow. know, the progression just, you know,
that's awesome.
Pretty quick for me, especially, you know, being a little baby Christian.
Like, yeah.
Like I still am, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, now my wife learning. And I were, yeah. And my wife and I were involved in leadership at the church now. And
okay.
We host connect groups here at the house. And so wow. we're just super plugged in. And, you know, that's I think awesome. A big misconception. Yeah. It's incredible, you know, but a big misconception is, you know, I think some people say, oh, well, you know, now that you found Jesus, you know, life's amazing. Hey, listen, man, we still go through our seasons.
Oh yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Life still happens, but you know, compared to things I went through in the past and things that I've gone through just since my move to San Diego,
yeah.
You know, I've had massive successes. I've had massive failures. I've had, you know, massive success and the betrayal into, I mean, and if it wasn't for, our church and the people that we surround ourselves with,
yeah.
I'm not sure how I would have gotten through it this time around. You know,
yeah.
I know I would have gotten through it, but I'm not sure how. I'm not sure what that would look like. I'm not sure the impact it would have had on my wife. And now, you know, we have a little boy, Daxton Samuel McCutcheon. He's oh, two yeah. and a half years old. And
yeah,
I mean, that dude's our everything, man. Like,
right. That's awesome. And, yeah.
And you know what's so cool and the people we're surrounding ourselves with and the people that, you know, when we say we're looking to model our lives after certain people and that mm-hmm. not only talk the talk and walk the walk, we've learned how to be better parents. We've learned how to be better, you know, husband and wife in our marriage. And it's cool now. I mean, my son's only 2.5 years old. And when Good Grace and some worship music comes on, he'll throw that's a hand awesome. Up in the air and he'll start singing some worship music and
wow.
he'll pray over dinner. Thank you, Jesus, for mommy. Thank you, Jesus, for daddy. Thank you, Jesus, for YY. YY is our dog. Thank you, okay. Jesus, for YY. And thank you, Jesus, for meals. Amen. You got to get the truth in there.
Yeah.
He smacked me in the knee with something a couple of weeks ago. And he didn't do it on purpose, but I was like, ow, buddy, you hurt daddy.
Mm-hmm.
He literally put his hand on my knee and prayed for healing on my knee.
Oh, wow. Like,
okay.
That's okay, amazing.
We're doing something pretty okay. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Perfect,
but man, we're doing something okay. And really, awesome. It's our church. It's our leadership. It's the other families that we're around. You know.
Yeah.
It's just been incredible, man, and such a journey and such a ride.
Right. That's such a blessing too. I mean, it's really cool to see that kind of a change too that fast for your life. How has it affected or has it affected how you run your businesses or anything like that? I know you've got a business more faith focused, right? The Servant brand, you know, but anything else too that it's affected?
Well, you know, what's interesting about that question is I would like to say yes, but this kind of goes back to what I said about my parents and, you know, some people would be like, oh, that's terrible. They didn't bring you up in church. And I'm like, but they had their own reasoning for it. But my parents very much instilled so many of the principles. So
okay,
getting saved hasn't been a huge drastic change
on
my mindset and doing good to other people. So it's actually been easier now that I have the word behind it to understand, this makes sense now. This is why I feel this way. This is why I do this. This is why my parents taught me this way. This is where it came from.
Gotcha. You know? Yeah.
So honestly, it hasn't been a huge shift, but it's definitely been a big help. For me, it's been, I'd say if anything, not so much in how I conduct my business, but how I react to my business.
Okay.
Meaning how I handle things when things don't go well or you know, life is happening or that season comes into play, you know. Take where we're at right now. You know, when COVID and the coronavirus hit us just a couple months ago, my gig, my sole source of income, you know, in this season was traveling around and speaking to people.
Yeah, right.
What went away in a moment?
Yeah.
Traveling and speaking to people. No more gathering in groups. So literally in a moment, my whole entire speaking career, for now, went away. So what does that shift look like? You know, and I've battled, you know, I'm very honest and open about it. Like, I've battled depression and anxiety for 20 plus years of my life. Wow. Debilitating, like, kind of depression and anxiety. Okay. Fortunately, never suicidal, you know, want to hurt myself kind of. Yeah. And that's probably just because, I don't have the guts to do it. Now I couldn't do it to my family. Like,
okay, yeah.
But man, I've been in some dark places and I've been in some stuck places. And, you know, just as men with pride and ego, like, I didn't want to talk to my friends about it, you know, especially in my guy friends, because I feel like I'd get judged. And this is where the power of church and community has come in.
Yeah.
Because in our community, like, we have men, one, we have a prayer every Tuesday morning at 5:30 in the morning. We have men's prayer at our church.
Wow. Yeah.
And this is where dudes come in, man, and just get raw and vulnerable about what they may need prayer for. We'll share God stories. So, hey, how's God been moving in your life in the past week? And people share. And then we'll pray corporately together in a group as a church. And then we'll break up into small groups. And so it'll be like three or four of us and we'll all pray.
Okay.
But this is the place where you can bring the things that you're struggling with. You know, you'll hear the addictions, you'll hear the porn, you'll hear the anger, the frustrations, and, you know, and right. just sit there and really pray for each other. And so for me, in having the challenging seasons, having the word and having people that speak life into me has been one of the most powerful things that I could have. So that's the way it's really come into my life.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Even just getting up and starting at 5:30 in the morning, right? that's powerful too. Starting your day early way.
And what I'm so proud about, you know, even with the whole COVID thing, and we can kind of let the cat out of the bag now, even with the whole COVID thing, man, I got guys in our church that are still getting together praying.
Wow.
Now I got one of my pastors who's, you know, one of the biggest influences in my life since moving to San Diego. They never stopped.
Wow, that's awesome.
They still got together, you know.
Yeah.
So, because that's how much we believe in the power of prayer and men praying in authority.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing when our wives or our women pray in authority, but the men need to be able to pray in authority too, which is interesting in my house because, bro, let me tell you, if you ever hear my wife pray, I hate having to pray after my wife. 'Cause I just literally want to be like, ditto.
Yeah, like, right.
What she said, and
yeah,
you know, but just
that's awesome, man.
Men taking authority and praying is a powerful thing too.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, I guess you know, one thing that I really enjoyed and what drew me to want to talk to you even more too is that servant brand that you have and kind of the message of that. If you wouldn't mind just kind of sharing, you know, where that came from and what that message is a little bit more.
Yeah, it all came, I was on the road traveling one weekend.
Okay.
And so typically, you know, I'll get to the hotel early afternoon on a Friday and I'll spend that Friday getting ready for the weekend. So getting everything set up, you know, checking in what students are going to be there, how many students I'm going to have, et cetera, and just mentally getting prepared.
Yeah.
And so I was in a hotel, I was sitting on the bed and I actually was playing a message I was listening to. It was a marriage conference that a couple pastors were speaking at another church. And there was a married couple on stage that were sharing. And somebody asked them the question. They said, what's the key to your successful marriage? And the husband said, well, the first thing is every morning when my wife and I wake up, we wake up with the mindset of how can we outserve one another?
Okay.
And I just stopped. Like, I stopped it. I stopped. And I really just looked at myself for a moment and was like, man, do I serve my wife well? Mm. You know, I know she serves me well. She's absolutely incredible. But I was like, man, do I serve my wife well? And And then I just really sat in that moment and thinking about how powerful of a statement that was, not just for marriages, but for people.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there, I'm thinking on it, And I remember I had my eyes closed, and I have a very good eye for things.
Okay.
But I can't just close my eyes and draw like most artists can draw something just out of their head. I don't see those visions typically like that. Like if you told me to close my eyes right now and picture a soccer ball, I'll close my eyes. I'm going to see a soccer ball for about 0.3 seconds. It's going to turn into my phone, a dragon, a building. Like my brain just operates a little different.
Okay.
But I'm sitting there and I just remember I have my eyes closed and I was really thinking on this. And I just saw this logo and it didn't go away.
Okay.
And I'm looking at it and I'm like, wow, I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's crazy is I don't even know why I grabbed my phone first, because again, having done web design and graphic design, I have Photoshop. Like that's normally the tool I would do something in.
Yeah.
I grabbed my phone. I looked for, you know, an image of like a clip art style heart. Mm-hmm. Then I put it in one of those little meme apps and just started playing with different fonts.
Okay.
And that's literally where I ended up with this logo. Actually, yeah. We got the water bottle version.
There you go. Yeah, that's perfect.
And so I designed it and I saved it. But also during that time, I was going through a very, very nasty season.
Okay.
I had had a nasty business split with, you know, the guy that I started the real estate business with years and years ago, my best friend at the time.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, stabbed me in the back over business and money.
Wow.
Okay. So they literally cut me out of the business stuff that we still had going on back home. So I had a couple sources of income going.
Yeah.
But all of that went away in a moment. So I wasn't only, you know, dealing with a business and a financial loss.
Yeah.
This was the dude that gave the best man speech at my wedding.
Oh, wow.
This was like my brother, not blood, but my brother of almost 20 years. And so I didn't take that well, man. Like it,
yeah.
And I don't know many people that really would, if you genuinely love somebody like that.
Yeah.
And so I was still like in a nasty grieving process through that. And, you know, the depression was at an all-time high. You know, I'm sitting here like, man, I got to provide for my family. I've got to, what am I going to do?
And, yeah.
And so I just sat on the logo for a little bit because I didn't have the capacity to figure out, well, what am I going to do with this? You know,
yeah.
It was a few months later. I was like, all right, you know, that happened back there. Let me go do what I know how to do. Let me go look for a rehab out here in California to do, you know, something that I can bring a couple quick bucks in, so to speak. And so it was literally the day I put a property under contract, you know, I was feeling good about myself, had a little swag for the day. And something just said, hey, go to the, you know, there's a local t-shirt mart across the street from our church that a buddy of mine had told us about. He said, go make a shirt. And so I go in there and I had the, you know, the logo on my phone and go in. And so I'm looking at t-shirts and I also looked up on the wall and I saw a little baby onesie.
Okay.
Oh, dude, I should get one for my son too.
Yeah.
And so I got a t-shirt for me and a onesie, and I got a t-shirt for my wife too. Can't forget the wife.
Yeah.
And I went and had the first three shirts made.
Wow.
And I remember taking them home. And so it's just like when they do it there local, it's just like a vinyl.
Okay.
And it holds up really well. It looks great, but it's not something you can do in scale and production.
Okay, yeah.
But they looked incredible. So I took them home and I showed my wife. And when I put that onesie on my son, and I just stepped back and actually I have the picture. I took a picture of him. I was like, this is going to be big.
Yeah.
This is going to be something, because it's not just adults. Like this is a message for kids. And this is something that I can wear with my son. Like I'm not the corny dad that's going to wear like the lion and my son's in a cub t-shirt or copy and face. Like,
yeah,
nah, bro. I don't know. So I want to have cool stuff for me and my son to wear together.
Yeah.
And I remember just looking at him and I was like, man, this is so much bigger than even what I thought it could be.
Yeah.
And then, you know, still a lot of life things go on and then the enemy's in your ear, like nobody's going to buy it. Nobody's going
to. Yeah.
And what I ended up doing is rather than just trying to launch some big thing, I made some stuff for myself and I just started wearing it.
Okay.
Every weekend I would travel, you know, in the airports, I'm wearing my stuff. And, you know, yeah. I had some hats made, I had some shirts made. And, you know, in my 45 years of life, I have never had somebody ask me as many times about an article of clothing I'm wearing as whenever I wear one of these pieces.
Yeah.
Almost every time I'm out, somebody will stop me. And now that some of my friends have it too, people will stop them and ask them. I mean, I was in the, you know, in the little American Airlines Admiral's Lounge waiting on a connection flight one day. I'm sitting there and I'm doing a little work, and this little white lady, she had to be about 65 years old. She walks past and she says, "Excuse me, does that mean what I think it does?" I'm like, "Probably." "Is she a Christian?" I said, "Yeah." She's like, "I love it." And so we just started talking and connecting. And but then what was cool, in that same trip, when I got to New York City and I'm checking in at the hotel, this young black girl, probably, I don't know, early 20s, checking me in.
Yeah.
She was, "I love your hat and I love your shirt. Wow. And, you know, where'd you get that?" And so, you know, gave her a card. And so it crosses generations. Because it's the word, you know,
God. Yeah, absolutely. It's a powerful message, out serving, you know, one another, whether it's your spouse or it's in a business, you know, relationship, or just a great witnessing tool, right? You know,
well, I mean, the vision statement for, and the brand is called Servant Heart. And the vision statement for it is to create a culture of people that strive to outserve one another.
Yeah.
And that starts in the home. And that's an important piece to it. Because I think that's a big part of the problems that we're seeing on what's going on in the country and why we're so broken is because we don't have solid foundations at home. You know, we have divorce rates at an all-time high. Fatherless is at an all-time high. Moms are having to be dads, and they're not built or wired to be a mother and a father at the same time. And dads are having to raise and be mom at the same time. Like, we're not wired like that. Like, God didn't make us that way. And so... Right. The important piece that I want people, you know, the message is for people to go do good to one another, right?
Yeah.
Like when the little stoner kid that was printing my shirts at the T-shirt mart, he's like, "Dude, that like that's a cool logo, man. He's like, is that like a church, a God thing? You know, I'm like, well, you know, I have my faith, but really, it's just about doing good to other people, man. Just like hold a door for somebody. You know, if you see a little old lady that's struggling with some bags, man." Go help her with her bags. I said, that's really what it's about. But what it's also done, which I think is very important, because one of the things that kept me away from church for so long is I did not want somebody bashing me over the head with the Bible. I did not want somebody just Bible thumping me. The Bible, even being saved as a Christian, now the Bible is super intimidating. As it is. People just trying to force it on you.
Yeah.
Like, that makes me back this way. But when somebody asks me about this, you initiated the conversation. You initiated for me to now tell you about my faith, tell you about my message, tell you about my testimony. And it's funny, we've just had an Empower Night at our church last night. And a guy came in and spoke, and he said something that really rocked my world too, because one of the other things that I'm building right now is a program for men called Council of Kings.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's a coaching and mentorship program. And a big part of it is based on my walk, man, my walk in life and my testimony.
Okay.
And last night, you know, the guy said, he said, every testimony is a prophecy. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because every time you share your testimony, you're prophesying over the change over somebody else's future. Because if God did it for you, he absolutely is doing it for somebody else or gonna do it for somebody. So it's our responsibility, it's our duty as believers to share our testimony every opportunity we get. And what better way to share your testimony with potentially a non-believer or somebody teeter-tottering, what better way than if they initiate the conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
So that's what has been one of the coolest things that's been going on with it is the door that's open that I didn't have to go knocking on the door.
Right. You know? Yeah. Cause then they're open to receiving whatever you tell them at that point.
Jehovah's Witnesses, they're knocking and everybody's hiding behind the blinds.
Yeah. Right.
Like you saw me walking by and you opened your door and you said, "Hey, can you tell me about that?"
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
That's awesome. So. Well, yeah, this has been great. I love the message. Out serving other people really has been helpful in my life. I mean, I saw you post about it on Facebook months ago or a year or so ago, however long ago it was, and it was powerful for me. So I'm excited for other people to hear about it too.
Appreciate that. And it's what you're doing right now with this podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're legitimately serving other people, you know, from your heart.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, the podcast is new. We're getting a lot more downloads than I expected, so it's been cool to see the effect it's had. But, you know, thank you so much for being on here. Where can, you know, I know you've got Council of Kings coming up. Where can people go to, I guess, follow more from you and maybe get some information on that?
Yeah, so I'll keep it super simple. Okay. I'll give you – I'm launching a virtual summit, which is a set of interviews. It's free.
Okay.
It's free to register for it. It's an interview series. I'm actually going through the interviews right now.
Wow.
Yeah. Of just some powerful influences in my life, mentors in my life, men that have had a positive influence. And I've got some powerhouses. I'm so excited for that. I've got some world changing pastors in there. UFC or MMA world champions to guys that have built $300 million businesses.
Wow.
So, and if you talk about God having his hand in something like that, ain't me that put all that one together. So,
right.
That one is councilofkingssummit.com.
Council of Kings Summit.
Yeah. So that'll be the easy way. While I'm still building everything out, councilofkingssummit.com.
Okay.
The brand Servant Heart, you can just follow us on Instagram. It's SRVNT.heart. HEART. I always spell heart wrong for some reason. And then my wife will listen to the interview and you spelled heart wrong again. and the website servantheart.com. Yeah.
Okay. So and I'll link them in the show notes for anybody too.
That'd be awesome. And then my personal IG is just Mr.Daniel.James on Instagram.
Mr.Daniel.what?
James.
Okay. Daniel.James.
That's my grown up name.
Oh, okay. There you go.
My little kid name, the little kid voice in my ear, that's Danny.
Okay.
And then, you know, my middle-aged dude who has some common sense, that's Dan. That's what most people know me by.
Yeah.
But my grown-up persona is because my name is Daniel James McCutcheon. So that's my grown-up persona over there. That's the guy you'll see in a suit sometimes.
Right, exactly. Well, perfect. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate it, Dan, Daniel James. So thanks so much for being on. And I'm excited for people to hear this one. I think it'll bless a lot of people. So. Thanks awesome. So much.
Thanks for having me. It was my honor.
Yep. Thank you. You have a good one.
All right, bro. You too.